Okay, so we'll begin the Sustainability Commission meeting. It's October 10th at 7 p.m. I'll do the roll call. Katie Brennan?
Here.
Julie Moeller?
Here.
Eric Simon?
Here.
Mary Susan Chen?
Here.
Sue Crothers-Gee? Mindy Creedy? Mary Masella?
Here.
Thank you.
Can I just note that we did hear from Sue Crothers-Gee that she's going to be late. She'll be here by 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also that Mindy Creedy has offered her resignation for personal reasons, so I don't expect her.
Okay. Okay, so it was mentioned that the agenda order would like to be rearranged because Sue Crothers-Gee can't be here until 7:30, so we'll go ahead and, is there any public comment on the B ordinance? Okay. Okay. Then we'll go ahead to the adoption of meeting minutes from August 8th and September 12th. Is there anything that needs to be revised within those? Or?
I didn't have any comments.
I didn't see any corrections.
Okay.
So, do we move to adopt the meeting minutes?
Yep.
I so move.
Okay.
I second.
Okay. Katie Brennan? Let's take a roll call.
Yes.
Julie Moeller?
Yes.
Eric Simon?
Here.
Mary Susan Chen?
Yes.
Mary Masella?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so then we move on to the update on native planting.
Okay, well, I met with Patrick from the yard crew, and John and I have been working together on plans, plants, time frame, budget. And I met with Patrick. He did give us a proposal, and I'm waiting to hear back from them because he did not break out the two areas that we're going to propose that we add natives, and we need to break it out. One is with the one area is at the Heller Gates at Auvergne and Lake, the two planting beds there, and then another is where we would like to begin working our way down the train tracks on Hawthorne and doing section by section of native plantings, and that would be our first section. And so we're just breaking out that cost so that we can budget the money correctly. So we're waiting to hear back from that, but it's all fairly reasonable. I can use my landscaping accounts and get wholesale plants and things like that. I did the design so that cut out that cost also. And John's crew prepped the beds at the Heller Gates. And Patrick then will pick up the material for us at Hinsdale Nurseries if this all goes through. And he will then prep the soil at Franklin and Hawthorne. It's about a 20-foot section, and install the plants, and I will act as the crew leader. I'll be there to help place the material and things like that.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Sounds fabulous.
It's fun, yeah.
So Franklin and Hawthorne will be the first part of the tracks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we constrained by time at all, or are you feeling comfortable about that?
We were just talking about that. I think we can pull it off in the next week or so, just as long as we get the budget, the proposal separated.
Right, because the Waller Gates area was going to be done by Public Works anyway, so that portion would be paid out of Public Works budget, and the other area would be paid out of sustainability. So it shouldn't be a problem getting that in within the next month.
Yeah. And the sustainability for our share for that, the plant materials, $198.78. And I want to say it looks like possibly the labor to install would, and this, I, you know what, I can't say, because he's broken it out with mulch, starter fertilizer, and I don't know how much he's appropriated for each bed. So I don't think it will cost our committee very much, our commission, a huge amount of money.
Okay. So just so I understand, the charges that we would be looking at would be plant material, and then also is the, what would the other charges be in addition to plant material?
The labor to put it in at Franklin and Hawthorne.
The sod has to be taken up. The soil has to be turned a little bit. He's going to add starter fertilizer and mulch it.
Okay.
So that would be the remainder of the cost.
And that's Public Works doing that?
No, not at Franklin and Hawthorne. That's the contractor.
Okay. Is that something Public Works could do?
Not at this time, because we're all tied up with leaf pickup. Yeah, so because that requires sod removal and everything.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, and that's why the yard crew also proposed for the Waller gates, is that John's crews are busy with leaf pickup.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to talk about that more in detail, budget and procedures.
I would guess so. I don't know. I'm not familiar with how this all works, so I guess we could talk about it then.
Sure.
Okay.
Would this be the best time to plant them in the fall as opposed to in the spring?
It's perfect time, yeah.
Okay.
And is the thought we're just going to get this one section done this fall?
Okay. Yes, yes.
All right.
And then I also have a friend that will do a painting on the train tracks, kind of announcing what we're doing.
Wow.
Yeah, she did a lot of the, she's done some of it here outside of the village hall. So she said she'd be happy to do something for us. And then we thought maybe we would continue maybe with another herb garden.
Yeah.
That would have very high visibility. And then Mary Susan came up with maybe a flower cutting garden.
Cutting garden.
Yeah, cutting garden. And we would just keep kind of moving down the road and then come up on the other side.
And I love that.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah,
nice job.
It'd be fun.
Is it Little Bits Workshop that did the paintings along here? Is that the person who would do the...
I'm not sure. I just have known her for years and years. It's, now I'm blanking on her name.
Jean?
Jean Bacon.
Oh, Jean Bacon.
Yeah.
Okay, super.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, excellent. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so then we have a report on energy goals, and that is Eric.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Okay, hang on, let me pull it up. All right, so kind of really quickly looking over the solar goals, and just to kind of remind everybody of where we had landed with the goals. The overall goals was to reduce consumption and encourage use of renewables, and we were really basing it on the Planet Green. We had already gone over the goals, I think, back in July. And the education piece, I think we're still kind of looking for...
Eric? Oh. Can you hear us?
Uh-oh.
Sounds like you got cut off.
Let me try calling him back, because he probably doesn't know the number.
I think he's still talking.
He's on a roll.
He probably is, yeah.
Yeah, that always happens.
Hey, is everyone there?
We're here.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
That's one of those classic moments where you're talking for a while and then you realize you're not talking to anyone but yourself.
Yep.
It's happened a lot lately.
You were saying energy or education goals.
Yeah, so education, I don't know if there's, if we were going to talk about it in this meeting, but I'm like a lot of the different committees waiting on more information on the website, you know, what we're going to be able to accomplish. We've kind of amassed a pretty good library of documents that we think will be valuable for the website when the time comes for us to be able to kind of load it up. And that was really a key tenet of the education piece. So I don't know if there'll be an update on the website later. It'd be kind of good to know where we are with that. The second piece about education was working with the school district to understand kind of current renewable energy curriculum. Really, we had kind of talked about this as being a goal for for this current school year. There's not a lot of progress that has been made with this. I need to give a call to I don't know if it's the superintendent or who you guys might recommend we talk to try to see where they are currently with energy education. I think we probably need a little more guidance from you guys, from the commission on this.
Eric, I can give you the name of a teacher at Roosevelt Middle School who's very interested in being involved and has been involved and has been a real supporter of the commission. His name's Corey Cadlick. And he came to a presentation that Sue and Julie and I gave last week about the commission, and he's looking for ways to involve his students. He you know, we had a little sign-up sheet if you wanted to be contacted by us, and he did sign up, and his exact quote is, he's looking for ways to involve his students.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. If I can get his contact information, I'll get in touch with him. I'm also trying to find contact information for whether there's a of some of the clubs that exist to see if solar projects can be incorporated to that, because there's a lot of really interesting solar projects, really STEM-related concept that's out there right now, that the best target for those would be like RC club, clubs, like remote control car clubs, robotics clubs, physics clubs, things like that, where we could get some underwriting or through donations, just get some of those energy projects kind of incorporated into them.
Are you thinking like through the high school?
So, ideally, yes. So, because the high school is, like, most of those are geared towards high school age. That would be the key target.
You know, at the District 90 level, they're redoing their sustainability, the Green for Good sustainability mission. And Anthony Cozy, Director of Finance, is going to be the contact for that. It used to be the superintendent, Dr. Condon, and Anthony, but Anthony will be the contact, so he'd be someone. And then talking to the Green for Good committee on how they could help you, because they're at each school. So I can give you those contacts. And, you know, because they also have the solar at each of the schools. And then Allison Hawley is the director of curriculum, and she's the one who's getting the sustainability into the curriculum as far as energy and waste and environmental things.
So, Julie, are we involved in those conversations at all? That the either is that OPR in particular, or is that like
no, that's D90.
The district. Okay.
OPRF, there's a clubs person you could contact. I have her name somewhere. And then also at D90, they have a STEM thing after school with and you could contact Lisa Krasinski about clubs. Yeah. So.
All right, that's all really good info. I think what I need to do is probably rate your Rolodex, truly.
And doesn't Dominican have a summer gifted program for STEM?
Yeah.
I don't know who the right contact is, but it can't be too hard to find.
Yeah, and just based on my experience, I think going through clubs is the way to go. Directing curriculum is tricky. Just because.
Yes, so if you guys remember, I'm on the, in my spare time, I'm on the board of a Colorado-based nonprofit that does basically solar car building, and the only way in is through clubs because it's just too daunting to kind of go through a curriculum.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk then. I'll give you some contacts.
That'd be great. I'll talk to you offline. Thank you. And then the other piece of the goals that we looked at before was it's a big one, which is the leading by example one, which was seeking out opportunities. Really focusing on public municipal buildings, which is kind of a bigger conversation that we've started, where we were talking about kind of the current grant program that was through the Mayor's Caucus about trying to come up with projects. But longer term, this is the conversation about, solar arrays on public buildings, other ideas in public spaces, which is really what you see most communities doing at this point, is starting with all the available rooftops you have with public buildings and utilizing a lot of grant programs that are out there for municipalities. And I know we've had a lot of side conversations about that. John has given me good information on some of that, but we kind of need to figure out a real strategic plan for how we want to go about that, because right now it's kind of a lot of little projects here and there, and it's, we can only take on so much.
So, John, are you aware of what the community center is doing? Because they've signed on to something with Gary Kunin with the project that they're working on.
No, what type of project?
To put solar
on their building.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So maybe there's other River Forest buildings that could be included in that.
Yeah, I'll have to find out
okay.
more information on that.
Okay, let me make...
Does Gary Kunin, is he the contact for that?
Yeah, I can look through some meeting notes. It just was announced at a meeting that was the River Forest link, and then there was some talk of the Park District if the new building was built. That they could be included?
I think actually that Park District talk was about the existing depot. Is that right, Eric? I know I put you in touch with Mike Slutton.
Yeah. I get all the buildings confused, but yeah, I thought it was an existing building versus a new one, but this is kind of what I'm talking about, where there's there's like a lot of ideas, and I'm not sure what's fact and what's fiction and kind of what we should focus our attention on.
Well, I know they're moving forward with the community centers.
Yeah, and I think that was announced at the interface
yes.
meeting.
So what program is that part of?
I don't know. Gary mentioned it as kind of as he was summarizing the different projects that were going on. So I think we need to talk to him and find out where that's coming from.
Okay.
I'm going to see Gary. I can ask him and then just shoot you an email and
and
copy you, Eric.
Yeah, that'd be great, because I think someone mentioned, might have been Katie, that like there could even be opportunity to expand on that installation, especially if, if it's being grant funded or something like that.
So, John, how does that work with, the Park District Depot building? Do you have any responsibility with that, or is that all Park District?
No, that's the Park District's building. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, and part of it is me getting better educated on kind of who oversees what, too, because we... you know, like the library was kind of a low-hanging fruit for getting LED lighting in there, but that's kind of a whole other entity that, you know, where I thought it would be easy to change some light bulbs, it seems like there's a lot more hoops to kind of jump through for that. I don't even know what to call it, like the whoever governs that kind of that library network.
Right. Did what's her name? Sue Quinn, did she get that information for that company that
she
sent along?
She did, yeah.
Okay.
And I believe they were going to come out next week. I'll have to check my notes, but
okay.
to do an assessment. But it really seems unlikely we'd be able to
elevate
fit that. Yeah, fit that in the current deadlines that are coming up. But I think we still need to do the work to find out what they need and maybe find other ways through the ComEd stuff that you've been doing, Jeff.
Right, and that has been a rolling program, so there's a deadline, and then there's another program that comes out, and then there's a spring deadline, and then there's another summer deadline. So it's kind of the same thing, but they want to give you a deadline to make sure you're doing something and not kind of hanging out forever, you know. So that's been the past experience with those grants.
Okay, that's good to know. So, so for something like the library, that might be realistically shooting for like this, you know, a spring cycle.
Right, because the ComEd, they have in all of their bills, they have a portion that's carved out for these grant programs specifically, so they have to use that money. And so a new program is rolled out typically right after the last one ends. You know.
Okay.
And just to confirm, I know the village doesn't pay electrical costs for this building.
Right.
But we do pay the village, or costs are still paid for the library, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right, for the library. Well, yeah, I think so. We do pay for the cost for the pumping station. So, yeah, not every building is in that agreement with ComEd. You know.
Hey, you know, just as we have this conversation, like it brings to light in my mind something I've thought about, which was it would be great at some point for someone like me and anybody else on the commission who doesn't know kind of the landscape of local government very well to sit down with somebody for, you know, an hour or two and kind of get a primer. Because I think it would be helpful as we kind of wade through different project ideas so we kind of know what's where and we can be realistic about what we're taking on.
Sure. Yeah, whenever you want, I can help you out with that.
I'd be happy to help you, too, if you wanted another person.
Great.
Yeah.
And included in that, or separate from that, I'd like to know which buildings are comped by ComEd for the electrical fees and which aren't. Because if they're rolling grant opportunities, I think it makes sense for us to build into our energy goals to be able to submit grant applications. And, you know, we need some of the information ahead of time.
Right. So the village buildings are Village Hall and the Public Works Garage. The electricity's comped. The pumping station is the third village building, and it's not. We pay the electricity there. The library, I would have to look into that. I thought they did, but I could be wrong about that because that's a separate entity. And then the other governmental bodies, I'm not sure about, you know, park district buildings. I'm just not sure about those. And even though we don't pay electricity at the Public Works Garage, we have used grant programs. I want to say it was 2 years ago to replace all the lighting inside because it's just more energy efficient and reliable than we had really antiquated lighting there anyway. So we took advantage of the grant for that.
Yeah, it's better from a maintenance standpoint.
Right. The interior and the exterior lighting there. So, you know, even though we weren't paying electricity, it just made sense to do that.
Yeah, and I remember attending, it must have been a Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Energy Subcommittee meeting before we were actually a commission, before we had Eric taking care of energy matters. And they discussed the fact that ComEd provides energy for free to the, you know, municipalities for, you know, some percentage. Mm-hmm. And we also discussed whether it made more sense to request that they revise that arrangement so that they actually gave a certain amount of energy rather than comping mm-hmm. a whole building. There's no incentive to save any to save energy that way.
Right. That would be similar to the NICOR approach, where NICOR doesn't give you unlimited gas. They have a certain amount of therms.
Yeah.
And if it's a drastic winter, if you reach that amount of therms, you have to pay. You have to start paying. So, yeah, that's maybe that'll change in the future.
All right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Eric.
All right. I mean, that essentially is what I have right now. You know, wind generation is kind of a much tougher nut to crack, so I think the focus is still really on, from a renewable standpoint, on solar. You know, not a ton of progress on my side, but I am certainly becoming educated and trying to catch up with all the people in the room there who have a lot more kind of experience on the local scene. So,
can you remind us
that's pretty much
the Planet Green goal is by 2020? Is it 20% renewable? What? Or?
So it's 30% in 10 years, 3% a year.
Okay.
The overall, I'm sorry, that's the energy goal. The overall renewable goal is 25%.
By 2020?
By, please hold. it just says over 10 years. I don't know what, when was.
Okay.
I'd have to look. I don't have the whole thing
okay.
in front of
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's okay.
But layered on that is the Federal Energy Jobs Act, which is 25% renewable by 2025.
Maybe that's where I'm getting that number from.
Yeah.
And I think they adopted that.
Yeah.
Okay. Just if we look at the goal and then say, you know, back it out where we could even get it from just to see if that's attainable, then maybe we set a goal for River Forest that would be more attainable, even though that's the Planet Green. You know what I mean? So that might be one way to.
Julie, is the sheet you're talking about trends and metrics? It says 2020 of 25%.
Okay.
Okay, so that answers the question is 2020, which, I mean,
that's,
you know, there's no way. I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be an exercise at some point in the next couple of years to, you know, to kind of revise, you know, I would think there will be because I imagine most things are off from a 2020 standpoint.
Oh, yeah, they've already revised goals. They've revised, like, the waste goal. But I'm saying maybe we just make a specific goal for River Forest, even though we're basing things off of the Planet Green, you know, the. Let's just maybe make something that's doable so we can measure what we're doing instead of always kind of depending on the Planet Green and what they're doing because it's complicated.
That's a good idea. I was trying to uncomplicate things by having a single goal and thinking it was Planet Green, but you're right. If the Planet Green's untenable, unrealistic, then I can work on kind of looking at where we are now and looking at what
any renewable in River Forest? I mean, I don't even know that. So, I mean, maybe it's zero and we get to 3%, and that's really good. So,
well, there is a certain aspect of we're starting from the bottom, so.
There's some private residents.
I know two houses. Yeah. But, okay. I'm not trying to complicate it. Sorry, Eric.
well, that's all right. My house will have, by the end of November, we'll have solar on it, and that'll be 0.00001% of our goal.
That's great. Nice job leading by example.
Well done, Eric.
We'll put you on the Sustainable River Forest tour.
That'd be great for the lemonade stand. Okay, so that's all I have really right now. There's obviously a lot more to do.
Yep, good job.
Okay. So at this point, do we just sort of vote that yes, we adopt Eric's goals? I guess we decided not to vote and just...
You voted on the waste goals, but I mean, it was just kind of an approval to move forward as stated. Okay. It wasn't really like we were in agreement with everything you've talked about as a direction. So I don't know how you say that.
Well, I'm in agreement with everything that Eric's talked about.
Yeah, I think you just have to clarify if there's anybody in disagreement, you know, then you can, and if there is, then we can vote. But if everybody's in agreement, then yeah, we can move forward, I think.
Agreed.
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 Okay.
Agreed.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I just think it'd be nice to get a report back after you get to meet with John Anderson about kind of the state of things, and then we can move on from there. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna just for my sake and future commissioner's sake, I'm gonna try to visually map everything out so we kind of have a document we can use for posterity.
Great.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay. So I'll just give a quick report on the ComEd LED lighting conversion, since we're on energy anyway. I just wanted to let you guys know that there's about 68 lights in the alleys that are owned by ComEd. Those are the ones that are on the wooden poles. They're owned and maintained by ComEd, but the village has to pay the energy cost on those. And so we've been asking ComEd for years, really, to get them converted to LED. And ComEd has an LED conversion program, but they are not very quick to move from town to town to get it done. So they are going to do that. They're going to start this fall, actually. So we're happy about that. And it'll lower the wattage per fixture by about 60%, depending on the fixture head. And then that would bring down the monthly cost by about 40% every month. And so the way it works is you're paying for the fixture as a part of your monthly cost, but even when you factor that in, we're saving money every month. So that's good. So at this point, once all of those are switched out, we'll have LED lights throughout the village. So
that's the last bit to be converted.
Yeah, that was the last bit. And that was out of our control, so we had to keep asking ComEd to do it, and they're finally doing it. So
nice job.
Yay.
So that's great.
It's good news. Yeah.
Yes.
Do we know when that will be finished?
This last quarter of the year, so that's what they're telling me. So by the end of the year,
okay,
it'll be finished.
So
I think this is that's great for the newsletter, the Green News.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, and Eric, why don't you follow up? Make sure you follow up on that because you can use that in your energy reduction.
Indeed, thank you.
Yeah, and I'll track the costs. So what I've been doing with our own LED light conversions, I've been looking at historical costs of what we were paying in street lighting and comparing it to right now. And with our street lighting, with our own street lighting, we've been saving 40% on average. So this is kind of in line with that. So we pay right now around $700 a month for all these LED lights, and now we'll be paying around a little over $400 a month. So
for just the 68.
That adds up over time. Yeah, which is the 68 lights.
Can we get the wattage on that so we have a metric about actual energy use?
Sure. Oh. I do have that. It's in an email.
I was going to say, you have that on your spreadsheet, all the wattages.
Yes. The spreadsheet that I sent you didn't include these, though, Eric. Yeah, but I can update that spreadsheet and put these alley lights in there, too.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be great. So I didn't hear who ask that question, but the spreadsheet's actually exactly that. It's really good. It shows kind of shows the wattage difference as well as, you know, other savings.
Yeah, so I'll update that and send that out for everybody's info.
Would it be okay if I shared that with Planet Green? They're looking for snapshots for the institutional leaders breakfast that they do. And that would be a good story that all of River Forest has LED by the end of the year. And they're saving 40%.
Yeah, for sure.
Were there some parking lots that were still waiting to be converted, or am I wrong?
No, I thought there were, but they're actually LED. They were just... It's older LED technology. So if you see those lights that look like wings, that's the older LED technology.
Okay.
So it's better than...
It's still LED.
Yeah, it's still LED, but it's like the first iteration.
Hey, another question on that, John. Is the Musco lighting at like the Keystone, you know, park fields, is that LED or is that traditional?
Yeah, that would be the... Park district, so I would have to find out for you. That's where these separation of governments come into play. So if they're not lights that I'm, you know, that we're paying for, then I don't pay attention to them being LED or not, you know. But we can find out.
Yeah.
You're talking about for the fields, right?
Exactly. The field lighting. I'm actually assuming it's not. But I mean, we can figure that out just by looking at them. I mean, I hope they are, but LED lighting for those kind of things are very expensive.
Yeah.
Thanks, okay. John.
Sure. Yeah, that's all I have for that update.
Okay. So we could either keep going down our agenda to commissioner reports and on meetings and presentations, or we could skip back up to public comment and beekeeping, which was earlier on the agenda. Should we do that now that Sue's here?
Yes, and thank you, everybody. I'm so sorry to be late.
It's okay. So we reserved public comment because we thought maybe the public comment might be about bees and beekeeping. And now that Sue's here, do you have any public comment?
Just saying, if you have questions, clarify.
Okay.
We've heard all.
Okay, so let's move right down to three then, proposed beekeeping ordinance.
Okay, so everybody got a copy of the latest draft proposal, or draft of the proposal. Sorry, I've locked out. Just got to get in to pull mine up. So the only thing that we really had to discuss when this went out was the final portion of it being the decision or the definition of two items, and one is that these are items that the committee didn't agree on, so therefore that's why I sent out and said, okay, we've got this, that we need to make a decision as a whole group on this before moving it forward, because the committee couldn't decide between themselves what would be the correct language to go into the ordinance. So that is, should permits be allowed for all residents on property, i.e. a property owner versus someone who is renting a property. So some committee members didn't feel necessarily that we should issue a permit to somebody who is a renter. And I gave definitions of other municipalities who identified this, which you've all seen. And then the other one was, should permits be allowed for residents living in multi-family complexes, i.e. condominiums or apartment buildings? And do we want something written out? And I offered two considerations. So the bottom line on this is we just need to vote on whether we want to identify these separately, or whether a resident is a resident regardless of status of ownership or rental, and whether multifamily complexes under the ordinance as it's written is considered as a resident who can apply for a permit. So I think that's it, and the reasoning was given, but I'm happy to go over the reasoning again, the differences, if you like, you know, the considerations. It's up to you if you want it out there for public to hear.
Well, I'll just jump to it with my own opinion that I rented in River Forest for 7 years, and if I wanted... You know, if I would have liked to have kept bees, I would not have liked to have been restricted from that just by the mere fact that I was renting. I was, you know, an active member of the community, and I don't see a reason to keep renters from being able to keep bees.
Yeah, I'm. Hey, this is Eric. I have a similar point of view on that. I actually think that it would be a mistake to restrict that. And I also don't think that's our job either. I think our job is to come up with an ordinance, and I think it's the village's job to decide how, you know, if permits need to be restricted by age or need to be restricted by type of ownership and stuff like that. And I happen to believe, you know, personally, that whether somebody rents or owns is irrelevant. And like was just said, you know, it that stuff should be restricted or not restricted by leases, by, you know, by the landlord, by HOA documents and other things that kind of go there. I don't think it's our job to really go there.
Well, just my concern originally was apartment buildings, was how that would all play out. But then Sue and I talked it over and we realized that she pointed out to me that many of the conditions in apartment buildings would not fit the permit, you know, wouldn't match the permit. So it was kind of a moot point.
So it kind of eliminated mm-hmm. by something else. Yeah.
Yes, but exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree that we're just putting another restriction on something that, you know, will fall out as it should be.
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if that would be the only two things. If there are any other comments on it, then we could, you know, I don't know, Mary, do you have any other comments on it?
I was thinking the same as Mary is, that the need for space and the need for the fence, if a rental property didn't have that kind of space, then the person wouldn't be able to do it.
Right, so it's kind of a moot point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some people rent houses. A lot of people rent houses when their houses are under construction and stuff for, you know, for a long period of time. So they'd be able to keep them, so it wouldn't exclude them, right?
Right.
They're
right.
Technically renters.
Exactly. And then they, you know, they could move the beehive when they end up in a property, yeah, or vice versa. If they're in a property and they have a permit and they're renting temporarily, they could too carry that permit with them, because so it sounds like, so that was the only question, to see whether that needed to be changed. So if that does not need to be changed, then the next step is moving forward voting on this to move the ordinance as it's written now, the proposal, to the village board, that, you know, we vote to move it forward to present to them for their November 13th meeting would be ideal.
Does anyone have any other questions about the ordinance before we vote?
No. I mean, it's been online for any changes for anybody to look at. I don't know if anybody here has looked, so... So I don't know. I mean, since the last one is that we addressed the issues of nukes, we put that in there. We addressed maintenance issue, like the maintenance issue is why nukes are required. We addressed beekeeping non-transferability to any other location or entity. The list was on there. And the other things that we addressed were adding the word comb. Beekeepers, you know, wanted, because it can be a frame or a comb. So we added that. I think that we also... we removed the water from being 10 feet from the hive because... there was a question about attracting other they call them robbers that can come to the hive and invade the hive. You know, you attract other insects. But as long as it's on the property and the hive location being completely fenced in, we changed the wording a little bit to clean it up, essentially, that said if there was some redundancy in that sentence that we cleaned up. So, and then just addressing these two issues. So, short of that, I think that's it.
So, I move that we vote.
Okay, I'll call the vote here then. Katie Brennan?
Yeah, yes.
Julie Moeller?
Yes.
Eric Simon?
Yes.
Mary Susan Chen?
Yes.
Sue Crothers-Gee?
Yes.
Mary Masella?
Yes.
Okay.
So, John, do you then take care of sending it to the board?
Yeah, I'll summarize everything in a memo and send it to the board.
And it'll be on when they decide.
Right. It'll depend on their meeting schedule. The next meeting, well, it won't make the next meeting. That's at the end of this month. So it'll likely be the next month. So
November.
November, right.
And that's November 13th, because they're Monday, right?
They're
the second Monday.
Second and fourth Monday.
So we should probably all make a note to attend if we want to answer.
Yeah. Right, and my goal on that particular presentation when we present that is to also include additional education and information documents, you know, from that we've talked about. We also met, Mary and I met with Ellen from Dominican, and they have committed to, can I say that you're committed?
Yeah, I talked to
him
yesterday, so yeah.
Thank you, Ellen, to hosting educational workshops in the spring and the fall. The details are yet to be ironed out, but we can safely say that it's so that beekeepers can attend, residents can attend, and that these will be regular workshops, we can call them, so that people can come and understand and learn about bees if there's any, you know, hesitations or the beekeepers to share. So I think that we'll have all that information ready to present to the board too, so that they can understand that there is that portion of it that we're going to be doing as well.
Perfect. And will you also put together the permit application, supplementary?
Right, supplementary documents such as what the permit application could look like. You know, so that just to make their life easier, I'm sure that, you know, the administration may do something differently or could. And also the notification to neighbours, which we have at that, which ideally will be available on the website too at some point. But just to go over that, and, you know, if we want to check in with the administration afterwards, assuming that, you know, the village board moves to proceed or however they go, we can be a resource for that to help that go together. And then also some documentation. We're just trying to help on pollinators and things like that would go into the additional documents.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Sue and Mary and Mindy in absentia. You guys did so much work, so much hard work and outreach and education on this. Congratulations for...
Wow. I appreciate that, but I know everybody on that committee, we learned a lot about even just, you know, working on the committee.
Working on a committee, yeah, it's very difficult with three.
Yeah, we learned that we should not have three moving forward when only two of us can talk at any one time. Mm-hmm. Just a heads up.
It caused communication issues where you couldn't sit down and discuss things completely. It was email here, did you get that one? I don't know, did I get that one? You know, it was just, it fragmented the committee, and you really need to sit down and talk to someone about a lot of these issues, or I do. I don't operate that well via email and text and stuff. I prefer to talk.
It's a great point. At least we learned this point on one of our very first projects.
Yes.
We did. So only two on chickens.
Yes.
Which I guess is going to be put probably on our next agenda.
Great.
Okay. Before you take off, can I give you this?
Yeah. You know, that's actually lost.
Well.
Or is that a bee?
Okay. I figured you knew that, but the fact that it says, since we're on audio, I'll just explain that I got a advertising piece in the mail from Anderson Pest Solutions, and on one side it says, got bees? We can help, as if they are pests, and we will help eradicate them for you. And on the back side it says, don't let wasps or hornets ruin your outdoor fun this summer. So this Anderson and other pest control companies might be good candidates for the education.
Sure, of a wasp on the front.
Yeah.
Not a bee.
So they need to know that.
Yeah, okay, great,
yeah.
Thank you.
My gift for you.
November.
Yes, and I thank you so much, Ellen, for meeting with us and sharing it, and you know, and offering the collaboration with Dominican. Thank you.
Really looking forward to
science.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. So moving on. Oh, that was a nice success.
I'm sorry I made them sit here so long.
Okay, so we've jumped around. We're going back down to number 8, commissioner reports on meetings and presentations. And this is something I'd like to have standard on our agenda now, because it seems that every month, almost each of us are attending different committee meetings that relate to our subject matters that we are handling, or we're giving presentations. And I think it's good for us all to know what's happening amongst each of us. So I don't know if we want to start with Mary Susan. I don't know if you have anything to report or not, but we'll just go around this way.
No, I'm keeping an eye out for the River Forest Park Board to talk about turf, and actually it just stirred my brain to maybe make contact with Dominican and see what their process was, because they have artificial turf. So they don't have their minutes up from their last meeting, so I can't see that. But I was thinking the only person I know personally from the park board is Lynn Libera. So I thought I would get in touch with her and see if she could alert me to when they're going to be talking about turf again.
Could I also send an email to Mike Sletten, the executive director, and copy you and explain to him that we would like to be involved?
Notified.
And sort of ask him if there is a point person on their board for the turf issue,
mm-hmm.
and put the two of you together. Would that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Julie.
Oh, sorry. I attended the Interfaith Green Network breakfast, and Eric was there as well. So I'll let you add anything, but it was Interfaith Green Network is 15 congregations in Oak Park River Forest that have made a commitment to working with their congregations. So they announced some of this, the solar that's going on. They also announced a zero waste initiative with Housing Forward to use compostables at their PADS locations, and they're doing a they're piloting with 4 congregations, and the Interfaith Green Network provided Housing Forward with $2,500 for that. But it was just a good way to connect with even more people who are doing sustainability, and I just kind of represented the commission. So do you have anything to...
No, it was interesting. That was my first experience with the Interfaith Green Network, you know, I think it's interesting from my standpoint, just because there's, like Julie said, there's a lot of initiatives going on that at some point, certain consolidation, I think, can be infinitely more powerful than, you know, lots of individual efforts that are going on. But, you know, this is yet another big group of people who are, you know, making some really good progress on things. So it was great.
Yeah, they did share that they are having a smart energy workshop Thursday, October 25th. So I'll leave this and share if anybody was interested in attending that. And then they had kind of a brainstorming session, and it was a good meeting. One other meeting, I did go to the high school with Mindy and Nick Bridge from the River Fork, or from the Oak Park Economic and blah, blah, blah Commission. Economic and Energy Commission, which is their environmental committee, attended, and Jen Nelson and Susan Casey from Planet Green, and it was to talk about polystyrene use at the high school. And I think Mindy's going to continue talking to them, and she's going to work with Seven Generations Ahead on reducing their styrofoam use. It's a good meeting. Good introduction with the CFO there.
Great. That's okay. It. Eric, did you have anything else?
I didn't have any additional things. There's no shortage of things to get involved in, so I'll continue to attend things that make sense, and thanks to everyone for forwarding things on that seem interesting and relevant. Appreciate it.
Yep. Okay, so I attended an environmental committee meeting of the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus about a month ago, and there were presentations by CMAP, South Metropolitan Higher Education Consortium, Go Green Illinois, Fox Valley Sustainability Network, which was Gary Kunin, and Prairie State Network, et cetera. All very interesting. There are a lot of people who are doing the same types of things that we're doing for their municipalities, so it's really good to meet them. One of the interesting takeaways I had was that Go Green Illinois mentioned that they had paid a walking audit expert to come in and give an audit of their municipality. And it was fascinating what they learned from this guy.
Which municipality?
Well...
Oh, just a municipality, okay.
I have down here 200 suburbs, so I'm not sure which suburb this expert audited. His name is Mark Fenton. But what's two interesting things is that they said he sees things that we don't notice about walkability. And the payment for him was funded by the Illinois Bone and Joint Institute and the National Institute of Health. So,
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Isn't that the thing that you're
we
going
have,
to?
You know, we should be thinking creatively about if we would like to have something like a walking audit, find out what the cost is, and find out if we have any entities here that might be willing to help us cover the cost.
That's interesting because a number of Planet Green meetings ago, and I don't recall, maybe Julie, you'll recall. There was like a list of municipalities in order of their walkability, and they get a number, right? And Oak Park was in the single digits, and we were at 30-something on our walkability. We didn't have a great scorecard, which is interesting given the fact that we are close to transportation. So it would be nice to know what they categorize that on, right?
And yeah. Yep. So, and then the other thing is that last week, Sue and Julie and I gave a presentation on the Sustainability Commission's history and its current goals and how it was formed to the River Forest Civic Association, which is formerly known as the River Forest Service Club, and Mary Susan came. And we had a nice group, very welcoming audience, and five attendees expressed interest in getting more information from us, including Corey Cadluck, the teacher at Roosevelt, who I mentioned earlier, also Sue Quinn of the library, Al Popowitz. So we'll follow up with these people. And then we also were given a donation of $50, and it was anonymous. I don't know who put this on our clipboard, but I'm officially handing it over to you, John.
All right, we'll make sure that goes in the right place.
The right kitty, okay. Maybe to put those native plants.
Yes, we have $5,050.
Every little bit helps, yes.
Yes, so now we have $5,050. That's all I have.
Okay.
till after the budget right now. Okay, so I have been up to my elbows in bees. So I have not attended a meeting this month. However, I did get invited to attend a meeting to let you all know about. I was invited to attend the Land and Lawn Forum at Oakden Community College on November 13th. Fortunately, that's during the day, not in the evening. So I'll still be here for the presentation to the Village Board of Trustees. But it is I am asked to be on a panel with Midwest Pesticide Action. And the panel is discussing, I'm trying to pull it up right now, the writing of IPM policy, which we worked with the integrated pest management policy that we worked with when we were a sustainability committee in the foundation to so that the park district adopted IPM policy for all the parks. So I also suggested that Mike Sletten attend for IPM implementation portion of it. They have reached out to him and they've yet to hear back. They haven't heard back. I checked with them today. So I'll follow up with him. And that's the 13th of November. So I will let you all know how that goes on the next meeting. And I think that's it. If there was anything that we need to put forward to the Planet Green meeting that's coming up on the 17th of October, for the leadership forum, because they're asking for suggestions on the scorecard. What we just talked about with Eric and the LED lights would be one thing, and the other thing I would like to offer up and then is that ask people if there's anything. So perhaps the native plantings would be something that we could report on for the open space and ecosystem portion of the stats, the metrics. And also I'm calculating based on the current block season, the additional people who signed the pledge for the healthy lawn at the moment, I want to say it's around 63 additional this season. So that will calculate the chemical reduction in our community, and we will calculate then, you know, what we've saved as far as runoff and things like that with chemicals. So that will go in, be a suggestion. I mean, it's up to them whether they take it up, but these would be the suggestions I would like to put forward at the next meeting for the leadership, that we get that on the scorecard.
Great. That reminds me, when will the Green Block Party season be over so that we should put you on the agenda to report on that?
I would hope by next meeting, on the 14th of November is our next meeting. I could report on it, or
there's no pressure. I just want to. I just want to know.
That would be ideal. At the moment, our last block party is listed as the 31st of this month. We have four more, I believe, listed as green, and one that's on the fence. Well, has not indicated, so we'll reach out to them. So, but the 31st is the last date now. From my experience, it's highly possible we could get a couple more. It's kind of shocking how late it goes into the season, but at this point, that is the last day.
Are you adding for the Planet Green report card the garbage that we diverted at the lemonade stand?
Yeah,
that number be added in there?
I recorded a report card, it's at Leadership Forum. You can listen.
It's institutional leader or institutional. Breakfast is in December.
It's like highlights.
And they have people come up and speak. But so the lemonade stand would be maybe another good idea.
We could report, that, you know, during the lemonade stand we converted this much.
Yeah, we'll make sure you all know the date. We'll send that out. Because then you would present your idea.
Yeah, what happens usually is we present things that have happened. At this next meeting, and then they define it down as to how many people can do these snapshots, and then we stand up and give a snapshot of what we've achieved. So all things are on the table to present to them on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to attend October, I can't remember the date, 13th, the ILCA inaugural seminar up at, I think it's at the Botanic Gardens?
I think so.
It's a day-long program of speakers addressing landscaping issues, integrated pests, natives, everything. And so I will be going to that. And I did speak with Patrick from the Yard Crew about developing with landscapers an organic pesticide program. And so he has already had a lot of ideas about that. And I'm going to sit down with him later and discuss with him what landscapers feel is effective, what they feel their clients would do, what they feel would be too expensive, and that, you know, just to start working with them to get them thinking about it a little bit more. And he did say he was going to reach out to Public Works about a program that maybe you guys could use, or the Park District, of organic lawn care products. He thinks some of them are not effective, but some of them are, and as long as people maybe lower their standards and expectations, that it can be effective. But we're still going to work on that with him and with other landscapers. I'll reach out to them this winter, and we'll start just getting their input and seeing what they think and what their experience has been, and just get them thinking about it a little bit more. And yeah, I can't think if I've done anything else. I don't know. The bees, and then I'll attend that seminar and then follow up with landscapers as I run into them. You know, some of it I run into them on the street or what have you. Now grab them.
Yeah, I have a list that I put together when Sue was doing a Midwest pesticide forum. I don't know if it'd be useful. It was all the people in River Forest that had permits, and I had a contact and stuff. I mean, not that you don't know all these people already, but...
I don't know all of them, but I know a number of them. And part of the problem is the people that are not permitted.
Right, yeah.
Who are not formulating the chemicals and, you know, the mow-and-go guys.
But maybe I'll send that to you. It had like 35 people, companies.
Right. Yeah, we had that breakfast forum that time. Yeah, you're right, with Midwest Pesticide Action. So, John, just a quick question to that is, how does the village manage it? Because companies who operate lawn services in River Forest are meant to be permitted. Mm-hmm. How do you, ensure that they are, or those that are running through the village who are not permitted, how do you address that?
Well, we make sure they have the sticker on their vehicle, and if they don't, then they get a violation. I mean, that it's just required that they get a permit with the village to do work, and if they don't, they run the risk of being caught. That's basically the bottom line, you know.
What's the ticket, the violation?
I don't know the exact fine. I can find that out.
Does the homeowner get knowledge of that? This is the first I've heard of this. So the people who cut my lawn need to be registered with our village.
Yeah, you can look it up on the village to see if they have a permit.
There's a portion of the website that has all the permitted landscapers on it, and so you can check that.
It goes for contractors, because anytime
contractors are licensed or permitted with the village, we keep an updated list internally.
Now, with landscapers, does the permit include the license to apply chemicals? Or is that a separate license?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, because that's, I think, where we have
a
disconnect.
So one needs a license to apply chemicals?
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You have to, as a company, you have to send a certain amount of your employees, if you're going to do fertilizer and chemicals, to training, and then they have to pass the test. But I think a lot of the small mom-and-pop guys aren't doing that. And that's where you can see the misuse of chemicals.
So is that test with the Department of Agriculture?
I don't know. I never had to take it. I know people in the companies I work for did have to get their chemical application license, but I'm not sure who regulates it.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
So one last question on that, and then I will not keep badgering this, but so can we review the permit process? Because if that's law, can we have them provide their permit for chemical application?
Right. For pesticide.
In order to get a permit in the village?
Right. Okay, sure. I'll have to check with the building department to see how they review that.
I said one last question, but I have one more. It's where is the permits? Like, they display the permit on their vehicle where, John?
It's a sticker. I don't know if there's a spot it has to be. It's usually on the windshield. Like,
kind of like the village
sticker.
The
corner of the windshield, yeah. Yeah.
But that just means they can cut grass, so you don't know if they have a chemical.
Right. Yeah, that's two separate things. I'm going to check into how far we delve into that, but yeah, the building department handles that, so I'll just have to find that out.
Maybe
yeah,
we can figure that out for next season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Close that gap.
Okay. Anything else on that? Okay, so let's go on to, we have budget and procedures on the agenda. And we touched on this briefly under number 4 when we talked about the cost of the native planting project that Mary's working on. Apparently the planting at Auvergne is covered under the village budget, but the planting at the train tracks, at least the first portion of it that we're working on now, is not. And so I know that Mary's working to get the costs, and then we would be potentially taking that out of our Sustainability Commission budget. And then, Sue, were you the one who asked to have budget and procedures put on the agenda?
Yes, Mary and I, so to speak, because of that particular issue, understanding what would come out of the village budget and what would come out of the sustainability budget. And then also, we have a $5,000 budget, but I have my estimations for the Green Block parties this year, which kind of takes in two programs, because in the past we've done Healthy Lawn and Healthy Family as a separate budget to the Green Block parties, and in this case I've just dumped them together because I can separate them out. But then this year, the people, it's Sugar Beet Schoolhouse, conducted both of those. Like, they did the activity, and then they also did the Healthy Lawn discussion as well. So it sort of came under the same thing. So I put together a estimated budget, and I have one for everybody if everyone wants to see it. But we have... see what's on. Oh, these are my actual invoices. Thank you. I'll get one for John. So at the moment, this is when I say estimated, I think I'm pretty on point. It may change slightly based on a couple of block parties that were green but did not have the sugar beet attend. We may have two of those, so that's a $140 deduction. I based it on 31 block parties, which I kind of is still, you know, not 100% sure on, but that's where I think we're at. And sugar beet charged us $70 each one. And so we've got $2,100 there. We bought additional lawn signs, 60 lawn signs this year. We ended up with 120 because they made a mistake, so we kind of lucked out. It just has the Parks Foundation on 60 of them. So I went back and they gave me 60 for free with the Sustainability Commission written on them, but we've had to use both signs, so we ended up with double the signs. So we kind of got, for $452, we got 120 signs. And then we added the, we worked and collaborated with the library to get the truck farm, the touch a truck, I should say, event, and Sugar Beet Schoolhouse attended that for us and did a program there, which was 190. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is because in the past when we're on the committee, you know, we got the money and we did it, and here I'm assuming that we need some procedure, and that's what I wanted to understand, of approval that I can now move this forward to go out of the Sustainability Commission budget. So in the past we've also had grant funding that helps pay for this, and I will disclose that I am working with Green Community Connections to see if we can, we may have some funding that can help apply to this, because from my understanding, if I'm correct, John, the budget goes till April. Like our $5,000 is April.
Right, April 30th.
Right, so I may, whilst I'm working on this, be able to get that through before April, so it can be applied to this current year and then applied to this. It would be around green block parties and chemical usage, this grant, and working with Oak Park, so sort of a collaborative effort. So that's what I'm working on. So currently we've got $2,862 out of that $5,000 for the green block parties and the healthy lawns, and that potential funding could be, I think, around $1,000.
I see. Awesome.
So I just wanted to see if I can get it approved, because Sugar Beet Schoolhouse have given me an invoice. I didn't pass it on because I found an error in it, but I expect, so I've asked her to redo it and do the whole season in one. She had done a halfway point, and so I just wanted to see if, you know, knowing that this may change very slightly, if I can pass on the invoice to the village. So I need commission approval to do that. I'm assuming. I don't know the procedure, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Okay, so the purchasing policy would, since I'm the village liaison to the Sustainability Committee, I would just sign off on anything, and my authority goes up to $5,000. So since the entire budget is $5,000, then it would just be up to the commission to agree to make these purchases. And whether you want to just do a voice vote, or, you know, if anyone objects, then you narrow it down, you know, per vote. That would, you know, be up to the commission. So so that's just the extent of the purchasing policy. So something like I was talking to Mary earlier about the native plantings, we can go ahead and make sure those plantings get done, since everyone's given their approval to move forward with that, rather than have that being held up, let's say, till the next meeting, and then it's beyond the planting season. So that's my two cents on the procedure.
And perhaps for procedure in the future, like, this is a program that, as we know, came over, like, and we started this commission, we were already planned ahead, but maybe in the future, for next year, for example, I can put together a budget prior to the season starting so that the commission can approve it. I think that probably sounds more logical. I think this is just kind of
anything you can identify ahead of time.
Right. I think this was just an exception in that transition period, but I can certainly do that next year.
So maybe, like, as of May 1st, anybody on the commission has to, I mean, just ideas that they may be spending money on?
I think that's great.
I mean,
yes.
Right, for a plan ahead for the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What will be our fiscal year? We just started in the...
It'll be May 1st to April 30th. Yeah.
Based on the programs we're working on, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, because I think about Recycling Extravaganza, and I wouldn't like to, I'm going to vote that we cover this, of course, and I'm going to vote that we cover the native plantings, but I don't want to leave a Recycling Extravaganza as the, you know, the last one to raise their hand with not enough money. So we have to figure out how to make this work.
And
depending on when that is, it can fall into the next fiscal year too, right? And then my other question to that would be, is my understanding is the $5,000 does not roll over. Anything that we don't use does not roll over.
Right.
However, with grant funding, that may not necessarily be the case. So we have to kind of figure that into the equation when we do it. Now, grant funding will be program specific, but we just have to make sure we do that in our budgeting.
We may need to budget to replace the two frames that we haven't found yet from the Keystone block.
We haven't found them.
Yes. I did a house by house drop off.
Oh, thank Mary you, Mary Susan. Susan. Oh, my goodness. So, for those of you who don't know, we lost two
the garbage
of the frames at a block party that did not return them when Public Works went to pick them up. They weren't there. So, and they're expensive. And Joan was awesome, put out like an email to the residents. She was great. And then Mary Susan went above and beyond the call of duty, knocking on doors. So thank you so much.
I didn't get arrested.
And didn't the resident who sort of filled out the application for the Green Block Party offer to cover the cost of it, but that...
I saw that in an email. Yeah. I haven't been in touch with her.
Yeah, just sort of feels sad to ask that resident or to accept that offer because you want to motivate residents to chuck off Green Block Party.
I think it's a lesson learned. We then revamped, right? Joan revamped the application, and moving forward, people, when they sign off, will be very aware that if they lose it, then they'll pay. And I think that's fair once they've signed off on it. But this resident, I mean, we had nothing in place. So I agree with you. I think it's hard to... generous offer, but hard to say do it when we didn't have anything in place as far as that procedure goes. But the good news is now that we do.
So I have a question. Have we spent any other money? I know we had to buy bags for the sorted out.
Right. So the sorted out bags, I wasn't sure, was that included in the Green Block Party dollar amount? Or because I've been keeping track. The sorted out bags, that was $350. And you already had the yard signs.
Yeah.
That was the only other item, the bags, so far that I have, beyond, you know, what you've put on here as well. So.
Okay. Yeah, so we can kind of figure out how much we have.
Okay. Well, and then the plant material for the section of native is $198.78 plus tax. And then I'm still waiting to hear back from the yard crew to break out this installation fees. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly how much this is going to be. So how do we deal with that?
I did a rough calculation just based on what you just said, John, for the bags and what you just said for the $200 and something, and then this, and then not adding, I don't know how much are the bins we've got to replace.
I was just trying to look it up. I'm thinking that he said it was 85 each.
And there's two of them?
Oh, because you're not placing this set.
So we're up to approximately, I'm going to say, $3,600 sort of accounted for.
Okay, well, this I still have to have the price for the installation. Okay. He's going to pick up and install. So he just lumped it together and he hasn't gotten back.
Right, so we would possibly have like $1,300 to $1,400 left in this fiscal year to cover that, and depending on when that recycling extravaganza is or any other items, I mean, that's just doing a rough estimate right now. And then knowing that I possibly have $1,000 grant, being able to come in and offset.
Well, that would be wonderful.
John, do other commissions, do they have someone... who's in charge of the budget? You know, a commissioner who takes that on, like a treasurer type role.
I would have to find out. I'm not sure other budgets that commissions are really in charge of.
Really?
Yeah.
We are just.
You guys are the ones that have the money, you know. Right, because traffic and safety, they don't have there's things that the village does based on Traffic and Safety Commission, for example, their recommendations, and then the village pays for it. So, but I'm just thinking there's not like a specific budget for them. You know what I mean?
So what would keep us from making a recommendation that to the village to plant native plantings along the railroad track, and then the village does it, and it comes out of a village budget rather than us? Or
yeah. Well, I don't know. My quick rule of thumb that I was talking to Mary about was, you know, we had already planned on doing the Waller Gates, for example. So that's why that part would be public works. You know, we weren't planning on doing anything next to the railroad tracks. So that's why it's sustainability. I don't know. It would just have to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. You know?
Right. Yeah, it's all new.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well,
if we did take that full strip eventually off of the public works mowing,
right,
would that be a significant savings for you, or is that not a, you still, there still would have to be spring maintenance cleanup, so I don't know if that's, you know, going to,
yeah, maybe it would be a little bit, you know, a little bit less to mow, but you know, if there's only spring maintenance, that's just a one-time maintenance item. So
would that be a big savings for the village, or
not a really a big savings?
Not
no.
Big. Okay.
We can't get credit.
I know. Come on.
Yeah.
I like your thinking, though, Mary.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But yeah,
I think also
I think
we all need to.
I'm comfortable with this arrangement,
right?
Personally,
and I think we do, like Eric, looking for energy, you know, grants or whatever it is that we need to pay attention to try and get those grants into our thought pattern and apply for them.
Right.
When we have a specific, yeah.
Okay. Was there anything else on that you wanted to talk about?
That was all. I just wanted to know procedure of how to move this forward. So right now, can I guess I would just like to see if everybody is okay or in agreement and vote to be able to ask John to pay this out of the Sustainability Commission budget.
I agree.
And I'll just let people know that this is done on a very small budget and that this is what it's cost in the past, so this isn't really a surprise.
It's actually cost more in the past, too.
Exactly.
Right.
The composting. So.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Any other business?
Just for the record, I just found this sorted out. Cost for one unit is $99, and for the set of three is $249.
So does it make sense to just buy a set of three and have one extra?
Am I? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody has a lot of waste.
One last
What's
quick
the
question.
One that's left?
I think we lost a black and a blue frame.
Oh, so you got the composting one, so you could give somebody an extra compost one. They have a lot of stuff.
One quick question on that. We are holding two bins from, or two sets from Seven Generations Ahead, or three?
Four. I think it's
when
four.
Can we return those? Because I think we're at a stage where the bins we have are sufficient, because we've only got scattered block parties.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is we had so many in one weekend. We can safely return those.
Yeah, you and
those.
I can take care of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'd order all three.
Should we make a decision to go ahead and purchase another set? Another sorted out set now?
We won't need it till the spring, potentially?
Yeah, I mean, we could order it in April if we don't use all of our money.
Okay. Let's make a point of...
We'll put it on the March agenda. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other business?
I'll just say that I got an email from Mike Sletton, and he proposed having the recycling extravaganza be the day of the Des Plaines River cleanup, and wanted to know if we could partner on that. I just got the email today, so.
This is the date for that?
April 21st.
They asked for that last year, too.
They asked for it every year, but
yeah.
I mean, maybe now that it's not through the schools, I don't know if there's a possibility, but the date's kind of problematic just because it's like Earth Weekend and it's just hard to get a lot of
suppliers and stuff, because everyone wants to do something Earth Week or Earth Day kind of. But it's, I'll report back. I'll talk to them and see, because maybe there's some connection.
Would the Park District help fund it if we did it on that day?
Well, that's what I think we should find out. Or maybe they have, they could help working and stuff. I don't know. Just thought I'd let you know if you had any.
There's a lot going on. That's the day when we have the compost in also.
And also the fear is also cannibalizing the volunteers because they're busy cleaning up the Des Plaines River. So how many volunteers can you get to work the compost and then work, well, the compost doesn't really need volunteers, but then work the extravaganza.
Yeah, you're cleaning up for 2 hours and then you, yeah. So we'll see.
Okay, so moving on. Our next meeting is Tuesday, November 14th at 7 p.m. here. That is the day after the Village Board meeting where we'll be presenting the bee ordinance. So, busy week. Should we move to adjourn?
Do you want all of us to try to be here for that?
I think it would be great if we can all try to be here.
Right.
Monday night, and the Village Board meetings are at 7 also?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I expect, you know, we haven't talked about, but I would expect that Sue and Mary would lead a small presentation of the ordinance to the Village Board. So it would be really important to have the two of you.
I have a minor event, but I think I can get off of it.
I have it in my calendar.
My neighbors declined being the physician expert because they are not allergists.
Mm. Okay, so that's, I don't know if we updated everybody on that. We wanted to do offer some experts so that if the Village Board of Trustees, which no doubt they will, have questions, we have beekeeping experts such as Marson from Garfield Conservatory, who's agreed to come and answer questions for the board. We were also going to include Dominican as an institution if there were any questions for them, and Ellen has agreed, or Tama, I think it is, who runs their bee program. And we were looking for a physician, and we were going to turn to Oak Park's physician who did it for the Village of Oak Park when they had their ordinance presented. Hmm. And Mindy, rightly so, suggested that we should have somebody from River Forest would be ideal for a physician. But so that's where Mary came in. And so if we don't have them, then maybe we search for others. But so that any issues about the anaphylactic or any allergy situations could be addressed. So we'll go back and do we want to go back and ask for Oak Park?
He has yet to respond to my emails. Mm-hmm. So, and then I let it go because I was hoping that one of my neighbors would do that, but they said, we know about it, we know what it is, but we're not experts on it, and they were afraid that questions could arise that they would not be able to answer.
So we can keep searching.
Why don't we leave it at the committee level?
We'll keep searching.
The rest of us looking. Have ideas. We can point them to you.
That great, guys? Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we move adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, Eric.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.